Digging Deeper Without the Cold Face, the podcast that shares the incredible stories of the talented and passionate people in our industry. This episode of Digging Deeper Without the Cold Face is proudly sponsored by Aquaflow Hire, your trusted partners for dewatering and auxiliary equipment rentals. Aquaflow Hire is part of the TrueFlow Pumps family, solving heavy-duty dewatering problems around the world. And your host, Jessica Rouse.
All right, now if you're a Newcastle Knights tragic or you're even a fan of NRL just a little bit, you'll know this bloke that I'm sitting down with today.
Gidley spinning, popping a ball, just like old times.
They were down by 10. Kurt Gidley moves in now to win the game for Newcastle. Gidley strikes the ball, it's coming back.
Badiris, away to Ennis. Ennis in jumper 70. Does well.
Kurt Gidley's to the right.
He is indeed. He gives himself plenty of depth. Gets the kick away.
It's over.
I think it's cleared the bar. It's cleared the bar. It's a point. Newcastle has won it. Kurt Gidley, he kicks a freak of a goal.
Kurt made his debut for Newcastle in their premiership winning year in 2001. He's kicked too many goals to even mention from footy and now into the next phase of his professional life, I guess you could say, industry. Kurt, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Jess. Great to be on. I have seen it online, so congratulations on this new move. But yeah, thanks for some of the articles we've already featured in the Coalface. Great magazine. I do plenty of research reading the article, so
that's
well
what
done.
We want to hear. Now, tell us, we have come out to Dream Path today. Where are we?
Yeah, we're at the Muswellbrook Industrial Estate. We kicked off a local training branch here in Muswellbrook around 2.5-3 years ago now, which was a big investment for the business. So, under the Protech Group, Protech's still privately and independently owned by our managing director, Mark Maley, who started the business in 2006. And under the Protech Group, DreamPath's our dedicated Indigenous recruitment arm, and it's jointly owned by Steve Fordham from BlackRock Industries in the Hunter Valley and Mark Maley. So, yeah, it's been awesome. I'm in a national mining role for growth and partnerships, which I'm really enjoying. I transitioned, I guess, from a business development role in New South Wales under the Protech Group, where I was looking after any type of growth and partnership opportunities across all those blue-collar markets in civil construction, mining, maintenance, manufacturing, rail, where recently I've just been promoted into just a mining-specific role, which I'm really enjoying. I've worked a bit pretty hard over the last sort of 2.5 years looking to grow our brand, number one, in the Hunter Valley. And I guess it's nice to be focused just on mining and maintenance now going forward.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to start by talking about your NRL career.
Sure.
Because I know a lot of boys would have followed you over the years, a lot of girls as well. Take me back to your debut with the Newcastle Knights all those years ago.
Yeah, 2001. It's a long time ago now. Well, I was an apprentice butcher. And that's
there you go.
So, local, born and bred,
yep.
Passionate Novocastrian I am. So I went from year 10 from Glendale High School and I spent a little bit of time doing some work experience at a local butcher shop, which was it wasn't part of my career plans, to be honest.
Did you know what you wanted to do when you were at school? That was just
I didn't. Year,
do this.
Year 10, you had to do work experience for a couple of weeks and I did that at a local butcher shop, and then I was offered an apprenticeship at the end of year 10, Ellenmore Vale Shopping Centre with Bobby Lyons, and that was sort of the start of my professional career and step outside of school life and away from mum and dad, I guess, a little bit of independence, and was riding my push bike to work, and had to set my alarm for the first sort of time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I mean, at 16, it was a big transition because I had to be at work at sort of 6:30 a.m. I worked till 5 p.m., which were big hours, really, on reflection. I didn't know any different. I just turned up at 6:30, worked till 5 in the afternoon, went straight to footy training, and then would work half a day Saturday morning because the shop was open half a day. And then I'd play footy in the afternoon. So, yeah, I just thought that was sort of the normal process of work life. And then in my third year of my apprenticeship, I got a phone call. I didn't get many phone calls on my first mobile phone, the old Nokia 3210.
I was going to say, are we talking a brick or are we talking a little bit?
Well, it was the little ones. And so it rang one day, and it was the coach of first grade Newcastle Knights, Michael Hagan, and he was calling to say – asked what I was doing this Friday night. I said, oh, mate, I'll probably be going along watching Matt play. And he said, mate, take the knives off and take the apron off, and I want you to come to training this afternoon and train with us at first grade. You're going to make your debut this Friday night at home. So, yeah.
What was the feeling when you got that phone call? That, like, excitement, nerves?
Yeah, all those. Yeah, definitely excitement.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't factor in maybe the size of that.
Yeah.
Night, you know, Friday night footy was a big occasion in 2001, and then there was Sunday afternoon footy. There wasn't sort of Fox Sports or KO at that stage. So to debut at home alongside my brother in front of my family and friends and mum and dad, who would support me right through my juniors, it was a really special moment. The game didn't go to plans. We got beat, unfortunately, but to be sort of part of that night, and then even be part of the back end of that run at the end of 2001, the premiership year, was great for me, learning, and it inspired me to number one, finish my apprenticeship for the next 12 months, because I really wanted to stay committed to that and make sure I got my certificate, and then over the next sort of 12 to 18 months transitioning into professional sport, really. I wasn't enough money to certainly go straight into footy. I had to have a bar job at that stage, but it was what I learned in the workforce and my apprenticeship absolutely had a huge influence on my professional footy career.
And as you said, a special time to be joining the side, that premiership year. And what path did your career take after that? You obviously stayed on board with first grade.
Yeah, well, I think, over the next sort of, again, 18 to 24 months of getting more of a taste in first grade, improving my game, I had to put weight on. That was definitely one thing that I realised. I was pretty small and, I definitely looked younger than 19, that's for sure. But I had to, train harder. I had to work hard on improving my skills.
Yeah.
And I needed to put weight on to obviously protect myself and obviously be more competitive and stronger in the game and my carries and defensively. And then sort of 2002-2003, I was playing more games and I established myself by that 2003-2004 year. So I was I played my first rep game for country, city versus country, in 2004, and it sort of all kicked off from there, and my game improved, and I was always really competitive and I had great perseverance. I wasn't one of the most naturally gifted or fastest or biggest, strongest players in the team, but I knew I had a really good work ethic. I knew I could persevere through tough moments, and I had really good leaders and mentors to look up to who had been there and done it, and were still doing it. Andrew Johns, Danny Bedaris, my brother Matt, Mark Hughes, Steve Simpson. The list goes on and on. That era of the early 2000s and the back end of the 90s, those guys were great. Newcastle Knights plays, great mentors on the field and off the field, and I learnt so much from those guys.
Yeah, definitely. And you literally just kept kicking goals. I mean, you represented Australia, played State of Origin, captained the Knights.
Yeah, so that was around 2007. I got my first call-up for the Australian Kangaroos team, which that was a really emotional milestone, I think. Yeah. When you're singing the national anthem and wearing the green and golden jersey and also singing the national anthem, playing in sky blue, and I still remember, the huddle out on the field when the national anthem was going, and Steve Simpson grabbed my jersey and pulled me in really tight. That was their little memories of, I guess, the little parts of footy that you do miss after your playing career. But to play for my country with the Kangaroos and play for my state and represent the people of New South Wales, they were great milestones and achievements that I probably in my early days didn't think that would be realistic, but I guess the harder you work, the better the luck comes.
Yeah,
and I guess you get rewarded through hard work and perseverance and continuing to develop your game. So, that era from sort of 2007, where I was announced as club captain, playing for the Kangaroos and playing for New South Wales, was a really memorable time. Mm,
yeah, and obviously, as you said, representing Australia was a very, very special moment. Was there a time with the Knights, a try, a game, something that stands out to you?
Oh, I think those moments, leading the Blues out for New South Wales five times and captaining New South Wales was a great moment. Captaining my hometown for as long as I did, from 2007 to when I retired at the Newcastle Knights, 2015. That was a great honour, number one, a great responsibility to have for the team and the town. I understood the older I got, the influence of my role within the community as well, outside of footy. And I think, a memorable game that people bring up is one that we sort of won after the bell against Melbourne, 2014, that was, where I think we scored two tries in the last 2.5 minutes against Melbourne, who were one of the best teams in the competition. Yeah. And then I was, I had the opportunity to win the game by kicking a goal after the siren. So that's a memorable one that people raise to me, in the street, on the streets, yeah.
And to stay with the Knights consistently for so long, I mean, I feel like we don't see that all too often these days with players, the Knights or anywhere.
Yeah, well, the loyalty's slowly phasing out of the game because it's becoming more of a business from a club perspective and even from a player perspective. I like when I see players who have stayed at one club for their whole career. I think it's a great deal of commitment from the player. It's great loyalty from the club. I was really proud now I reflect that I played for one NRL club in the Newcastle Knights. But again, I had guys who I looked up to, Mark Hughes, my brother Matt, Denny, Joey, Steve Simpson. Yeah. All those guys had offers to go elsewhere in their NRL career. But they understood that, they were still going to be offered a competitive contract at Newcastle. We could sleep in our own bed in the town that we grew up in. We are passionate fans. It was a cheaper town to live in, Newcastle, as opposed to going elsewhere, Sydney, and it was it was too good to be true. To grow up, play a sport that you love, and to be offered a contract that was competitive, and maybe not as lucrative as elsewhere, but you weighed up the pros and cons, and for me, I'd had offers to go elsewhere, but I didn't genuinely look to leave Newcastle because I was happy with the deals that I was being offered.
Yeah, and I mean, it's nice for the fans too. Even now when we see players want to stick around and stay in the town, Yasmin Clydesdale comes to mind. She extended her contract not long ago. It's just so nice for us to see too.
Yeah, I think so. And even myself now as a ex-player and old boy, I love to see, players re-sign.
Yeah.
For example, Fletcher Sharp, who's one of local Cessnock boy at the moment, who's playing some great footy. We should not look to lose those type of guys. Whatever they're playing well, they're competitive and they're passionate around their team and their town.
Exactly.
We should be looking to re-sign them. Matt Croker's another young guy who's just re-signed. And I think if you look and to people who have been there and done it before, it helps influence the next generation. So, we want some of our local girls like Yasmin to play their whole NRLW career here in Newcastle. And I guess some of the other things that I really enjoy is when players come from out of town and sign with the Newcastle Knights, and then post footy they retire and stay in Newcastle. I think that's a really positive representation of the town.
Oh, definitely.
Aiden Guerra, Craig Smith. There's another number of other players in the early days that have come to Newcastle. Probably thought about just playing their back end of their footy here, and then maybe going back to their hometown elsewhere.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of those guys, Michael Hagan, Tony Butterfield. All those guys stayed post footy because they know how Newcastle's God's country. It's the best place on earth. So why would you leave?
Exactly. I have to say, thank goodness for Fletcher Sharp. One thing about being a Knights fan, it's a life lesson, Sometimes you win.
It's a roller coaster ride.
Sometimes you lose.
Yeah. Now we'd like a bit more consistency. A bit like the can we get back to the 10-game run we had, at the back of
wasn't that nice?
2023, sold out stadiums and some great memories of the past it was. So let's get back to that, boys.
Exactly. Now, retiring from footy, what happened after that? Where did you go?
Yeah, well, a few of us guys who played here for our whole career, we did leave Newcastle, but we went over to the Super League for a couple of years just from a life experience. We all had young families, my brother Matt, Bedsy, Mark Hughes. So to experience living in a different country, in a different town, re-challenging yourself in a new league and earning your teammates' respect and fans' respect and I guess outside of footy, having the opportunity to do some travel as well. That really appealed to me when I was 33. And so that was a great life experience to go and play for the Warrington Wolves in the Super League for a couple of years. And then I was always coming back to Newcastle and the daunting prospect of, life after footy, life after
finding
professional sport.
Finding a real job.
Yeah, finding a real... Well, I mean, I did working a real job before footy. So
yes, true.
I did have some perspective on life. But it is a daunting transition because, you know, you've spent so long in professional sport, team camaraderie and teamwork, and it's a really strong purpose and trying to refocus on what's my next purpose in life. That comes with a few challenges and plenty of doubt, you know, plenty of self-doubt. But when I did sort of sit down and think, hey, well, what does life after footy look for me? For my first 12 months, I was always looking to go into the high-performance side of sport and strength and conditioning. A lot of people said that, you know, the way I trained and the way I showed interest in sports science, that was going to be likely a good pathway for me. Or, you know, it's a coaching-type role, but more in the sports science and strength and conditioning.
Yep.
But I just thought the closer I got to the end, everything I was, you know, questioning around continuing to play, around, you know, getting up for the games and going to the gym sessions and training sessions and video sessions, well, that was kind of the reason I was retiring. I was ready for a change. So yeah. I was sort of confronted with some big question marks. Okay, well, if that's not going to be within the team, you know, what else is there? So, yeah, I came back to Newcastle and thankfully I went and seen Phil Gardner from West and the Knights and sat down with him, and he was great to provide some advice. And there was a Booty Emerald business development role at the Knights at that stage available, and that was a good transition for me. It was still a safe option in rugby league, back in Newcastle, back working for the Knights, you know, being able to use my experience and profile and network, I guess.
In your comfort zone, I guess, a little bit.
And it was still a comfort zone.
Yeah.
And after 12 months in that role, I knew it was in my comfort zone and I needed to challenge myself to step out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
So I was offered a role, a BDM role again, at Protech Group in Newcastle, which was totally out of my comfort zone. I knew nothing about staffing or recruitment or the industries that Protech supplied to.
Yeah.
And then I'm hearing about, you know, awards and EAs and enterprise agreements and...
It's a whole other language.
it literally, the first 6 to 12 months was really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I knew I was doing the right thing for my own personal and professional career development. So I just sort of reflected it during that tough phase, that tough transition of 6 months. Okay, well, what got me through my apprenticeship as a butcher? What got me through, you know, 17 years of professional sport?
Yeah.
And it was reliability, hard work, perseverance, using my network, develop my skills.
Yeah.
And I kind of kept reflecting on those. Okay, I can definitely bring these things that are within my control. I can bring these to my new role at Protech. And I just had to be patient with the learning and development part, because that just takes, you know, that just comes with experience, and experience takes time.
Yeah, exactly. And you can tell you love your job with Protech.
Yeah, I do. I do. So I've coming up to 7 years in August.
Yep.
And again, I think our loyalty is a strong, I guess, trait or asset of mine. And, so, and, you know, when I commit to something, I really want to exceed, I think, in my role. And you know, it's a great company. It's a great culture. Again, our managing director, Mark Mealy, drives a really good culture nationally. I think it's amazing, the growth of Protech since 2006, being a national company.
Yeah.
And still be independently owned. And since I've been working specifically in the mining space over the last couple of years, I mean, there's a lot of crossovers and from mining to professional sport. And given the Hunter Valley is passionate, I think, about rugby league, maybe I'm a bit, little bit biased, but a lot of the sponsors over the Newcastle Knights, well, certainly my career, were a lot of mining companies, whether they were big mining companies themselves or suppliers. They're really good supporters of the Newcastle Knights. The New South Wales Minerals Council, their sponsorship and partnership with the club. I was captain when that first came in, and then I was the captain when the high vis outfit was introduced. So yeah, I think I could really leverage my network from footy and in Newcastle and the Hunter Valley into my role at Protech and now international role at Protech in mining.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crossover between professional sport and mining. Again, from when I speak to production superintendents or mine managers or project managers, there's a lot of I show a lot of interest in trying to understand their business and productivity and efficiencies and training and development. And likewise, they like to know a little about, well, what are they doing in professional sport around continuing to develop the players' game, sports science, because everyone wants to take their team, their workforce to another level.
Yeah, exactly. And Sean, tell me about the Mackay branch as well. Is the biggest
That's our biggest branch under the ProTech Group. Yep. It's a beast. The Mackay branch. It's a great team up there, and they've got a hell of a workforce. You know, over 1,000 staff out of the Mackay branch, right across the Bowen Basin.
Yeah,
even all the way to the Dalley Bay coal terminal. So a pretty diverse branch and really experienced and really professional. So I've been up to the Mackay branch a number of times over the last couple of years and out to the Bowen Basin to, again, continue my development and look to replicate what they're doing well up in Queensland in New South Wales.
Yeah, definitely. And there's certainly been some success down here in New South Wales with Dreampath here in Muswellbrook particularly.
Yeah, for sure. That was our entry into the mining industry in the Hunter Valley was our Dreampath, which is our dedicated Indigenous recruitment arm. And it's, again, it's jointly owned by a JV between Steve Fordham from Blackhawk Industries here in the Hunter Valley and Mark Maley from ProTech. So they joined forces and looked to provide a career pathway for Indigenous personnel through Dreampath.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got this, you know, state-of-the-art simulator as a training tool, which is absolutely awesome. It's got specific coal mine software that we've got a Cat 793F cab. You know, it's the exact replica of the cab. So it's a great opportunity for us to bring new people to the industry via our sim pit out here. We've got a head trainer, Robin, who's an ex-operator herself who's worked all over Australia. So she plays a great role training our people, but is a great mentor for them once they get on site.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we're really grateful for the opportunities with Tease at Mount Pleasant. That was our first role for Dreampath. And then they passed us or provided an introduction to Tease at Mount Arthur South.
Yeah.
We spoke to the guys at Bengala, and they've been really great as well. And we've got our first opportunity at HVO as well. So we're growing.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're growing slowly, and we don't want to sort of go too hard, too fast. We want to make sure we provide a really quality, reliable service, and make sure we're supplying, you know, safe people and who are passionate about being in the mining industry long term as well.
Yeah, exactly. We'll put a couple of links on the podcast description to the stories we've done with you guys in the past with a bit more detail. Sure. But otherwise, Kurt, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It's been a pleasure.
No, thanks, Jess. Thanks for the opportunity to have a chat and talk about our business and a little bit of footy stuff. And congratulations on the podcast and all the best with it.
Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of Digging Deeper with At The Coalface. You can download more episodes of the podcast on all your favourite podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, also on YouTube, Amazon Music, all the usual places. Make sure you leave us a rating and a review. We'd love to hear what you thought. And if you do have a story idea or something you'd like us to talk about on the podcast, please send me an email, jess@thecoalface.net.au. I'd love to hear from you, and we'll be back next time for another episode of Digging Deeper with At The Coalface.